out. I have sensitive ears.
Mas Cafe. Mas Cafe. East Coast, West Coast. Texas Toast.
Well, we don't got Starbucks today.
Yeah, we have this array of energy drinks here. You know, we don't want to be stigmatized by one specific drink on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because then people could use it as material for later.
We got to mix it up.
We got to mix it up a little bit. So right now we got Red Bulls and
Crimson Cavs.
Yeah, we have, let's see, the Peach Edition. We have the Sugar Free Edition. What's the one you were saying?
This is Red Bull Cola.
Red Bull Cola.
This is
it's organic.
Limited edition organic Red Bull Cola.
Red Bull Cola.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's even matted.
Yeah. It's high quality. It's an elite product.
Only elites drink it.
Yeah. I don't want this. I just want
like the Clintons.
Mas Café. Mas Café.
You gotta shake it. Like this.
How come when Ulysses said Mas Café on the video, he sounded like he was just kind of sad and old?
Yeah.
He was like a street vendor.
He was gonna sell coffee. Mas Café. Like he was begging for money off the freeway or something. Anyways, that was a good little impersonation of Pastor Shelley. Or from Pastor Shelley about us.
Yeah, it's because he has a lot of material to work with.
Of course.
We have personalities.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's easy to copy good, funny personalities.
Yeah.
But there is one that I just don't agree with still. Now, I agree with the impersonation he made of me. It's pretty accurate. The one he made about Ulysses, Mas Café. You say anything in Spanish, it's basically accurate if you're trying to portray Ulysses, right?
Dang.
Ray, of course, the Sod Slayer.
Oh, little Ray J with all
the
guns.
Ray J.
That was definitely Ray.
East Coast, West Coast. I don't know why they all sound like they're like losing their voice or something like that. East Coast, West Coast.
It was actually him losing his voice because he had to do it over and over again.
Oh, yeah. There's only one that I didn't agree with, and that was you. Because you remember the one that where he's like in the tank top?
Yeah.
That's the only one that's not only is it not accurate, it's actually inappropriate if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that no one in our church is that out of shape.
Exactly.
But that one's supposed to be you.
It is supposed to be.
Because he said hella tight.
Hella tight.
And you say hella.
I say hella a lot, apparently.
Yes. But I think that person was like a conglomerate of many people in our church or on the podcast or something.
Yeah.
So he's actually going to be on the podcast when he flies down. He's going to be preaching for us. In a couple of weeks.
He's going to be on the Rod of Iron?
He's going to be on the Rod of Iron podcast.
Interesting. Oh, snap. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very interesting. So he's going to be preaching for us, and then also he's going to be on the podcast on that week. So we'll probably talk about Texas or something like that. I don't know.
Texas Toast.
Texas versus California.
We should call it that. Texas versus. Hey, if you have an idea, a good idea of what we should name or what we should talk about on that podcast, make sure you put it in the comment section below. Welcome to the Rod of Iron podcast, Fundamental Baptist, breaking down discussions, dogma, and daily events. I am your host, Pastor Bruce Mejia of First Works Baptist Church. Welcome to season 3 of the Rod of Iron. And I'm joined by the fundamentalists in our church, Brother Adam Canzari, Brother Marco Sanchez. And then we have at the board, Brother Ulysses Hernandez. What are you doing?
El Protección.
You check the cameras? You check the cameras? You got this camera?
At the board, brother.
Are they good or what?
You Ulysses?
What did you say? Okay. You check the cameras? All right, folks. Well, we're getting into episode 2 tonight. And we're going to be talking about just an array of different topics. It's good to have the men back. You guys have been away for a while.
More than a year, I think.
Actually, it hasn't been more
no?
than a year.
No? Okay.
No. It's been a couple of months, actually, though. Because we finished season 2 maybe like in October or November. And then after that, we just didn't film any episodes. And then we had Pastor Anderson on for season 3, episode 1. And so now we're back. So we're going to be discussing a couple things. We're going to be talking about possibly Trudeau and Canada and the
trucker stuff going
the
on.
The trucker stuff going on there, along with the supposed martial law that's taking place, right?
Yeah.
Not supposed, apparently it is taking place.
Yeah.
And then we might get into cancel culture of Joe Rogan and what's going on with that. Obviously, we don't agree with Joe Rogan, but, you know, I more so don't agree with cancel culture just in general. So we're going to talk about that. And we might get into a little bit of doctrine. We might even talk about doctrine first. I want to talk about a couple things that I've been preaching about and just get into some speculations of God's word and some of the things that we've been covering over the last couple of weeks. And so we're looking forward to a great episode, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. You guys ready to get started?
Let's do it.
I do kind of want to condense it, but essentially what's going on there is in 2014, Ukraine had a revolution that switched the government there from being pro-Russia to pro-West and pro-NATO and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And Russia obviously didn't like that because if NATO's right on its border, they border each other. That's not good for Russia, right, for security reasons. So Russia annexed Crimea, which is like the biggest port in that region. And things were like on and off for 8 years until now where talks about Ukraine joining NATO again came up, and there's like sort of like a genocide against Russian people in Ukraine, and there's like they're being oppressed and stuff like that. So that's why you heard in the news recently, like, Biden thinks Putin was going to invade any day now. It's going to invade any day now. And then yesterday or before yesterday, he Putin did this super long speech to, it's like basically like the State of the Union, where he talked about how like Ukraine is not a real nation. It's like a fake nation created by like Lenin and like communists and stuff like this. And that if Ukraine wants real decommunization, he'll show them what that means.
Wow.
Yeah. So
this guy's bold.
Yeah. It's a pretty, like, if you go read the transcript of like what he talked about, it's like probably like one of the most like
inspiring.
No, it's probably one of the most intimidating speeches of like the 21st century. And at the end of it, he recognizes two of these like separatist regions in Ukraine, and immediately is followed by an invasion, or is more so, he said, a peacekeeping mission.
So how's that going as of now, the invasion?
It happened yesterday, so developing story, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know a lot of people, when they hear things like that, they're like, oh man, is this World War III?
Yeah.
Right, and they'll specifically.
World War III was trending on Twitter.
So, oh yeah.
See, obviously you had to.
It's like the beginning of every year.
Yeah.
Especially like during COVID.
Yeah.
Like World War III was with what, Iraq or Iran?
Iran.
Yeah.
Well, too, I think a lot of times, especially like with those who adhere to like the pre-tribulation rapture, they'll often interpret the Book of Daniel, specifically chapter 11, I believe, as the king of the north referring to Russia.
Yeah.
And I think it's because, quote me or let me know if I'm wrong, but I think the Left Behind series has the king of the north being Russia invading.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's like a major, major narrative that's pushed by the pre-tribulation crowd.
Well, isn't...
Whereas the king of the north in the Bible is just the king of the north. There is no king of the north that's going to invade anything in the end times that will kick off
There's no kings. There's no kings,
emperors,
anything now. Right, Putin is not a king, he's just a president or a prime
minister. Yeah, and people will just make the argument, it's like, well, it's referring to some sort of magistrate.
Right.
It's referring to some sort of leader that's going to kick off the war or whatever. But at the end of the day, going back to what we've talked about billions of times on the podcast, is we won't know that we're in the tribulation until the abomination of desolation is set up.
Yeah.
Because people said a couple years ago in 2020 that when the coronavirus was rolled out, that was potentially the beginning of the tribulation.
Yeah.
And the reason they said that is because Revelation 6 verse 1 talks about, you know, the first seal being open, and then you have the Antichrist sitting on the white horse, and he's given a crown. He's going forth conquering and to conquer.
Yeah.
So he's given a crown. You have the coronavirus, which corona means crown. He's given a crown. You get it? And, you know, according to that interpretation, we should be in the third year of the tribulation at this point, at the beginning of sorrows.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, over the last 3 years, I mean, I'm not saying we've been whining and dining, but it hasn't been, you know, a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny.
It's been
and see that hurt, not the oil and the wine.
It's been annoying. It's been inconvenient, but it's like,
nowhere near.
Yeah,
we should be getting raptured anytime now.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean,
we're like three and a half months in. No,
that's a thing with a lot of like, I guess pre-tribbers or like it, the rapture's imminent. Is they love like connecting these like word games, like crossword puzzles or something.
Mask and Mark.
Yeah, Mask and Mark, or Trump and Trumpet. Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Or another one is recently is so the president of France. His name is Emmanuel Macron. So Emmanuel. You know, referring
God with
to
us. God with us.
God yeah. with us.
Macron.
And Macron in I think in French or in some other language means like Mark.
So are they insinuating that he's possibly the Antichrist?
Yes, and some people in our church may believe that.
What?
No way.
Say their names.
Say
their names.
I'm not gonna. They've been on this podcast.
Are you talking about Hike?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I don't think he believes it.
I don't think he believes it, but there are churches who teach that. Like Cody's old church that he used to go to used to teach that.
That libtard church?
Yeah, that used to teach that Emmanuel Macron is the Antichrist.
What?
I went to a Pentecostal.
Just because of his name?
Yeah, because God with us, Mark, is his name, basically.
That's not enough.
I went to a Pentecostal church one time when I was like younger, and they were saying that China was... that red dragon or the dragon
because they have dragons and stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, what?
I'm just appalled sometimes of how much people ignore the Bible.
Yeah.
Like when the Bible clearly tells you this is what it says, and they're like, well, but you don't think that. I'm like, no, if the Bible says you're not going to know until the Antichrist receives a deadly wound to the head, his deadly wound is healed, he goes into the temple of God proclaiming himself to be God. Then we're not going to know until then. And it's just like, what about this guy, Emmanuel Omicron, or what's his name?
Macron.
Omicron is the virus. You know, the coronavirus or whatever. And then it's like, well, what about this World War III?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you read Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, and you look at all the elements that precede the second coming of Christ, which is the wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, you know, these are kind of common events that have happened throughout history, you know, and so that's why it's hard to use that as an indicator that we're in the tribulation, even though we obviously know that all of those have to be worldwide, right? They have to be like a global occurrence in America and everything. But, you know, even if that were to happen, let's say World War III were to break out, it's still not an indication that we are in the tribulation.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that the Bible doesn't say it has to be World War III. It could be World War IV.
I bet people in World War II like
thought it was.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right? You know?
But I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to be, but I'm just saying that we can't use that as an official indicator that we are in the beginning of sorrows.
Yeah.
The official marker, pun intended, is when the mark of the beast is instituted after the abomination of desolation is set up.
Yeah.
So you guys got to stop believing that, both of you. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, his wife, Emmanuel Macron's wife, is also like 50 years old. He's like 30, so you know he doesn't desire women.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
How is that an indication that he doesn't desire women? Yeah, that's so. This is a guy from France, huh? Yeah. Well, is he making any moves or something or what?
He's just the president of France. Not that I know of. Not that he's.
Unfortunately, his name just means Emmanuel Macron.
Yeah, unfortunately, his name is Emmanuel, like I'm sure millions of other people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Hispanics named Emmanuel.
Yeah.
And Jesus.
Jesus, by the way, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet there's a Jesus Marca.
That's his middle That's Ulysses' middle name. I'm kidding.
Yeah. The reality is that throughout history, you're always going to have these precursor, you know, leaders. Or precursor antichrist and false prophets who may even take on the characteristics of the antichrist, but they're not the official antichrist. For example, Trudeau in Canada is quite an antichrist.
I don't know if he's like powerful enough to be
but
called
he is a prime minister.
Yeah.
He is a magistrate, and he does have the qualities of someone who wants to be a dictator and impose mandates and laws and is making everyone's life miserable.
Yeah.
But you know what it could be? Now that I think about it.
Just like his dad?
Well, no. Marcos thinks that Trudeau's dad is Fidel Castro.
It's definitely a possibility.
I'm not saying it's
Maybe
not.
We can put a picture up on screen.
Yeah, let's go ahead and. Folks, you be the judge. Here's a picture of Trudeau, and here's a picture of Fidel Castro. I don't know. It looks kind of similar there, right? But, you know, I just had a thought right now regarding these leaders, rulers, and magistrates being like precursors to the Antichrist is maybe, and this is all speculation, maybe Satan's, you know, he sets up these really wicked magistrates that just makes people's life a living hell mm-hmm. with these mandates, and they have such of like a wicked persona, and people, and it just puts a bad taste in the mouth of people, right? Mm-hmm. That when the Antichrist comes, he's actually going to be like the exact opposite of that.
He's going to be like a freedom fighter.
He's going to be like a freedom fighter. Yeah. And in fact, the Bible does say that he obtains the kingdom by flatteries. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe that's just a cloak. So he sets up these wicked leaders to put a bad taste in the mouth of freedom lovers and conservatives and libertarians and mainstream Christians, so that when the real Antichrist comes into power, it's they're going to have a knee-jerk reaction and just go straight to this guy and say, see, this is how a leader should be, kind mm-hmm. of thing.
I'm cool with that.
It's all speculation. You cool with that interpretation?
Yeah, I'm about it.
You about it?
Yeah.
So tell us about...
So Canada, so yeah.
Since you're
don't say that
from Canada.
Oh, okay.
That's since
okay.
you're from since you're from Canada, tell us about.
So yeah, Canada was like with all like the like COVID pandemic stuff. It's been like one of the worst places in like the world. It was like Canada and Australia. In Australia, they've got like COVID camps where like if you leave your house, they arrest you and put you in camp. Canada wasn't that far, but they were talking about like some provinces were talking about putting like COVID taxes out. Where like if you're or vaccine taxes out, where if you're not vaccinated, you have, there's like an extra tax imposed on you. I think in some areas of the country, if you were unvaccinated, you couldn't go to the store without like a health person with you, like a health representative or some sort of like government worker. You couldn't go to the grocery store alone. It was really one of the worst, and it's like even now it's still pretty bad. Like everybody's still wearing masks everywhere. Like I was in Phoenix last week, and it's like COVID doesn't exist there, but Canada, like nationwide, is basically still like all COVIDed up.
It's still like 2020.
Yeah, it's still like 2020. It's still like if you go to like city of LA, it's like that.
Oh yeah, I mean Los Angeles is really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
That place is. We're so glad that that we were bombed because we got out of there. But yeah. Los Angeles is just terrible, yeah, man.
It's hard. I got kicked out of my – well, I didn't get kicked out, but I couldn't go to my gym anymore because I wasn't vaccinated because I didn't have a vaccine card. It's either that or get tested to go to the gym.
So. Well, Garcetti was just seen in a photo.
Multiple photos
without a mask on. And he made this stupid excuse that just like I held my breath during the photo or something like that, right? Yeah. And then he's like, can't you see I had my mask on the left-hand side? But you look at his left hand, it is like no mask in his hand.
Yeah. Well, at the Rams game, he was not even wearing a mask at all.
No one at the Rams game was wearing a mask. I saw some compilation of all these
like LeBron James.
Superstars and celebrities who were watching the game, and none of them had masks. No one was social distancing. It's like hypocrisy, you know? But go ahead.
So it was really bad in Canada. It still is pretty bad. But one of the most annoying things is like, you know, my mom has to travel back and forth through Canada, and if you're not vaccinated, you have to get tested if you come in, and I believe it's something with like even if you are vaccinated, you used to have to quarantine, but now if you're not vaccinated, you still have to quarantine. But if you're leaving Canada and you're not vaccinated, you're just not allowed. Mm-hmm. But for truckers, they made an exception because their business is based on like
traveling to the United States.
Yeah. So with truckers, what it was is like if they go to America, even if they're vaccinated, if they go to America and they get a positive test on the way back into Canada, then they have to quarantine there. And they lose their routes. I don't know how trucker stuff works. But
yeah, because they quarantine, for 14 days?
14 days, right? Yeah. And if at the end of the 14 days they're still positive, they still can't leave, right? Yeah. So they're losing their routes, they're losing money, they have these families to feed. Canada has like a big welfare system, but it's like not enough if like you have like a family of like four or five, like a lot of these truckers have.
So these truckers are basically on strike in a sense, right?
Yeah. So essentially, it's kind of like a level up from a strike. So a strike would be like, hey, we're not working anymore. What these guys is, hey, we're not working anymore, and we're going to Ottawa, and we're going to go siege Ottawa. And Ottawa is the capital of Canada. Mm. So Canada is a really big country, so truckers from all over the nation kind of just flooded into Ottawa, and there was these tinier little cities where there were also demonstrations. They basically put down Ottawa on like gridlock for like 2 weeks. If you look at it on like Google Maps, it was just like red, like the whole city for 2 weeks. And there's like residents there. The entire government is there. Like it was just gridlock for 2 weeks. And they did similar things in other cities like Toronto.
Well, what did they do? They're just kind of so squatting there or something?
Yeah, they brought their trucks. And there was a lot of, like, they had their big rigs and a lot of people.
Blocking traffic and everything.
Blocking traffic, blocking roads. A lot of people came, not even just truckers, just regular people came to support them with their minivans, their RVs, their cars. And the thing was under siege for 2 weeks. And basically they were like, we're going to stay here as long as possible because we raised like $10 million on GoFundMe. But, of course, you know, GoFundMe shut down their thing and they said, hey.
And distributed their money to BLM and all these other organizations.
So what they said is we're going to distribute it to trusted partners of GoFundMe, is what they said, right? So what does that mean? It's going to Planned Parenthood. It's going to BLM. It's going to wherever, right? Occupy Wall Street or whatever. Antifa.
How wicked is that, that you just take someone's money and just put it, designate it to something that they did not designate, that the owner did not designate it for, the giver.
Yeah.
That's so
they only gave people 2 weeks to ask for refunds too. So if you didn't ask for a refund within those 2 weeks, it's gone. Your money's gone.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it was even like maybe it was like a week. So it was going pretty good. It was pretty successful. Like they were forcing basically like the state government, provincial governments to rescind some of their vaccine stuff, like open things up, make it less crazy, like let kids go back to school without masks, all this stuff. They got rid of that idea to tax unvaccinated people. But so all the provincial governments were kind of folding to demands, but Trudeau was like doubling down. He like doubled down hard. And he called these people like racist and misogynist and Nazis. and
they're
like,
Nazis because they're sieging the Capitol?
Yeah, for real. He said like a lot of these people, he called them a small fringe minority. But it's like if they can shut down the Capitol.
What a wimp.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he get COVID during that time too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the day.
Conveniently?
The day they show up, which was a Saturday in January, the day they show up, he tested positive for COVID and left Ottawa and to an undisclosed location.
Man, that's so. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. It reminds me of the whole Julius Caesar sieging the Senate. It was like almost the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So then what happened?
So, you know, they occupied it for basically like 2 weeks. They blocked off a bunch of borders. One of the biggest like commercial borders between Canada and the U.S. is the Detroit Windsor border. And they blocked that off for a good week, and it cost like the economy like $100 billion or something like that. Because like all those car parts go to like Michigan and anyways. And at the end of all that, they declared basically martial law, the Canadian equivalent of martial law, which is called
Trudeau declared martial law.
Yeah. And they passed it, I think 2 days ago in the parliament. So he declared it, said, I'm sending this to parliament. And the parliament basically,
so how strict is that right now?
It's pretty crazy. They can freeze your bank accounts without due process. They can basically arrest you without due process.
If you're caught out and about or something?
If you're in Ottawa, and they suspect you of being part of this occupation, they can just arrest you.
So what happened to the occupation? Did they disband already?
So they arrested all the leaders. And unfortunately, the last leader was like some Jewish guy. And this last leader, this Jewish guy.
Maybe Trudeau has done something.
No, I mean, there was like three or four big heads, and they arrested all of them. And the last dude left was this Jewish guy called B.J. Dichter, and he fled Ottawa. Mm. Obviously, he opened the gates and fled Ottawa, like the Jewish, you know, cliche.
Did they find him in an attic or something?
He actually went to Tucker Carlson. Anyways, not joking, he was on Tucker Carlson. And then, they basically dispersed they used military force. They did like cavalry charges on like protesters and stuff like that. Yeah.
They were saying that they weren't pointing guns at nobody, right?
Yeah.
But there was like clear videos.
Videos of them like pointing guns at people. They cavalry charged this old lady in a mobile scooter.
Yeah.
And I think she died.
Yeah, they trampled her.
They trampled her with the horses. And then they were like, the protesters were being violent toward the horses.
But nowadays, you can the media can push whatever narrative they want, even if there's all types of footage, you know, saying the contrary or showing the contrary. It's footage, you know, that basically makes these people look guilty and shows what they're doing, breaking the law. All they have to do is literally get on the news, and then say that that's not what happened, and push their own narrative, and literally people will like just believe it.
It's crazy that you say that, because Canada's main news network, like the biggest news network in Canada, is state-owned. It's a state-owned news network.
There you go.
So literally, like, they pretend to be unbiased and they pretend to be impartial and stuff like that. But it is just the speaking voice, like the voice of like the main government. Whatever the government says, they do. So,
that's a structure that's been put in place for years. Because I think a lot of that has to do with just dumbing down society to get them to just believe whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, or trust the media. And just get them to believe whatever. I saw something where a guy was talking about TikTok, and you know, obviously TikTok is all the stuff on TikTok is just stupid. You know, the vast majority of the content on TikTok is very stupid.
Yeah.
You know, people dancing, pranks, and all this stuff. But he was saying that in China, TikTok is actually used as a reward system. So if people are uploading things that you know, are inventing.
Advancing the nation.
They're inventing things. They are being productive.
Yeah, the algorithm actually
The algorithm will favor them and give them more followers if they're doing something productive for their society, right? Whereas in America, the algorithm rewards and favors stupidity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like the more stupid you are, the more dumb things that you post, the more you're rewarded for that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so that's obviously done on purpose because this TikTok is being used by everyone, but mainly by the younger generation who will be the voters and be the ones who listen to the media and, you know, back them up when things like this happen. That's why they're able to get away with something like this, which is crazy because you have footage and people are, I guarantee you there's people who are backing up Canada and backing up Trudeau they're just like, no, they're not being violent.
Well, they're saying like, well, you know, the people there, you know, if they were occupying Ottawa, they're Nazis, so they deserve it. It's like that old lady that got run over by the horse, that got trampled by the horse. She's a Nazi.
If you say a lie loud enough and long enough, the people will believe it.
Yeah.
And that's not a quote from Adolf Hitler, by the way. Adolf Hitler was quoting someone.
Yeah.
And quoting the Jews, actually, who said that.
Yeah.
But it's a true statement, you know what I mean? And so, and the thing, it's crazy how people don't even research things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They just believe what the media says.
Yeah.
So where is it at right now? What's going on?
So
it's just kind of at a standstill or?
So at this point, like, I think this weekend, like this Sunday, Saturday, this past weekend, and like the 14th, 15th, most of the occupation kind of dispersed. Like they used like police, like just ramming into people. The leaders were gone, like the heads were cut off, like people were kind of like running around.
Not literally, but
yeah.
Whoa. Yo, this is happening in Canada?
It's like the French Revolution.
You didn't mention that.
Yo, what?
But I think they're like gathering again. They're like remassing because they have like, they raised like $15 million more dollars on this like Christian fundraising website, which got hacked by this like psychopath, the homo reprobate, who released the names of all the donors. Now they're all getting harassed and stuff
like that.
What in
the world?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Police are harassing them. Like, journalists are harassing donors, saying, like, why did you donate? Like, don't you know this is, like, a Nazi movement, like, a right-wing movement, all this stuff.
How is it? Man, that's nuts.
Yeah. So, right now it's at a standstill.
What about all the things that they repealed? Is that back?
So, the thing is, like, the federal government never repealed a thing.
Oh.
So, Trudeau doubled down. I think he knew he was falling in the steps of his father because his father also was one of the only prime ministers to enact emergency powers.
Which father are you talking about?
Either one, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now it's kind of at a standstill. But I think they're like gathering again right now outside of Ottawa and they're planning to go back in. So they have like the money to do it. They can not work for like 4 years if they want and to just strike for 4 years. They have enough money. So.
So you've set up kings, but not by me. Obviously, the Prime Minister of Canada is simply just like in America, is just a reflection of the people,
big time.
And so, you know, we deserve the leaders that we have. You know, same thing with Biden. And so, it's probably just God's judgment on that that country, on that nation.
Big time. Canada's like a. There's good churches up there, but Canada is like a spiritually very dark nation compared to America. Yeah. It's like right on our border.
Yeah.
And it's very spiritually dark.
And Canada's so beautiful, too.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah. Like Nova Scotia and
Banff.
Banff. Banff. Lake Banff. Was that where Lake Louise is?
I don't know.
Lake Banff. I think you're talking about, is it Lake Banff? Or
I thought it was called Lake Louise. It's like a really beautiful lake there.
The blue, just blue water.
We know a couple people in Canada, aside from the people at the church there at Sure Foundation Vancouver, right?
North.
Yeah. Is it Vancouver?
Sure Foundation North.
It's just called North.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's too confusing if it was, they're both.
They're both Vancouver, aren't they?
Yeah, but it'd be too confusing.
But we also know the
Farr family.
The Farr family.
Yeah.
They're cool people. Shout out to the Farr family.
They made
Yeah, actually, they made this logo right here, Brother Chris Farr.
Zoom in right here.
He he's a great artist, and so we know them. And then there's another family that I know, but they're like in the sticks. I don't even know if they're affected by any of this, but they're Russians.
Oh, I know those guys.
You know who I'm talking
they
about?
They are in the sticks.
Yeah.
They're like Farr in the sticks.
Off grid.
They're like homesteaders.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name for the life of me.
Maybe I don't think he wants his name out there.
Oh yeah. I was gonna say if you're watching, just put your name in the comment section below and email me or something.
Yeah.
He's like, pack your things.
He's like, he's exposed us. We must go tonight.
Get the elk.
That guy. We went on a missions trip to Aruba,
mm-hmm.
and he came with his kids. His wife stayed home. And then I think he came with his sister as well. And, they're majorly homesteaders. Like, he basically, they raise their own animals and they kill them there. And, you know, that's how they live, you know. Yeah. I know nothing about that life. I'm like, dang. He's showing me videos of how, like, they kill the, I think it was the elk or the swine or something like that. I don't remember.
Hits it with a hammer?
I think he might have just shot it.
Okay.
I think he's just like.
There's that like old video of Pastor Anderson.
Chickens?
No, where he takes the big sledgehammer and hits the pig on the head.
Wasn't that at Miss Courtney's house?
No, that was in Hungary.
No.
Oh, in Hungary. Okay. There's the other video where he's like chasing chickens, remember?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that was at Miss Courtney's house at her farm.
Yeah.
That's a really old video. It's like 240p.
I remember I saw that. I'm like, dang. It's like an Android. Android quality. Yeah. Like, oh, what the hell?
It's from like 2001 or something.
Well, remember that old video that we used to watch? It was like the Cambodians like killing the swine?
I think it was the Filipinos.
Yeah.
But they had this massive sword and they're holding down this hog.
But it was like a witch doctor too, like pointing something and it's like on its head.
Was he?
Yeah, and then like it starts just squealing like crazy.
I remember the guy, he grabs a sword and you know, he's really thin and they're holding down the hog and at first you don't really know what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Because you see him? And he's like doing everything he can just to carry this sword, and he just like walks over.
It's like a huge sword, like
huge
sword. And it's like Excalibur
curved.
Or something.
Yeah, it's curved.
There's like and something then, out of a movie.
Yeah, he just walks up and he's like, and he gives it the cleanest slice you ever seen in your life. And there's like a basin, to catch the head, and they grab the head and they just let it bleed. But it was like a nice little
nice slice.
Anyways, why are we talking about this?
Anyways, homesteading.
Homesteading, yeah.
Kind of want to get into that.
Well, you know, pray for the innocent in Canada.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just where our world is right now, and it's just a reflection of the people in general, unfortunately. It's just like in America, not everyone in America is wicked. We have righteous people who love the Lord. There's churches here, there's soul winners here, souls are being saved. And but the vast majority of people in America are wicked, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the leaders obviously reflect that. And so sucks for Canada. But
sucks big time.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah. Well, along with that, along with this dictator type of mentality, or should I say the generation that adheres to the dictators of this world, who likes the dictators of this world, you know, what about this cancel culture thing going on with Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
He said the N-word, the forbidden word.
Yeah. But he was quoting someone. Was he not?
I don't know. There's like 20 clips of him saying it, but regardless.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but I think he's quoting, right, Ulysses?
And some of them, yeah.
Oh, and others, he actually said it? Like himself?
Yeah.
Oh, in passing. I think a lot of the times, I think he said he was just quoting someone.
Yeah, I think most of them are when he's quoting somebody.
But here's the thing, though, is that they're trying to cancel him. They've obviously, and look, let me just say that I don't agree with Joe Rogan at all as far as, like, you know, who he is. I think he's a really bad person.
Yeah.
I think he's a bad influence. But I don't agree with cancel culture either, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this kind of goes to show you that cancel culture can only go so far if it starts crossing the boundary of affecting a company's money,
yeah,
then it'll stop. because Spotify will not get rid of Joe Rogan.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they're not going to get rid of him.
They paid like $500 million for him.
Yeah. Well, I heard that they basically deleted about 70 of his episodes, yeah. Right?
All the ones that where he says the N-word in.
Yeah, but they're like, he'll never do it again. We'll delete these 70, but we're not going to get rid of him because he's the moneymaker.
Yeah.
And apparently, he actually gets more views than some of these news outlets. So he, you know, he's actually a threat to these news outlets.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just a dude in a room with a microphone.
With one microphone yeah. talking to another guy or whatever. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And so, you know.
Usually high, too. Yeah. On DMT.
Have you tried elk meat?
Yeah.
I'm going to buy the earth.
How much does the earth cost?
How much earth cost? I'm going to buy the earth. And what would you do if you're the leader of the free world?
And, strolling that guy. Yeah. And how does that make you feel like that? You know,
it's like, he's and always what would you do if that happened? Kanye West's response to that was that he would collect all of the intelligent people of the world and get them to work on mechanical bees. And anybody who makes a negative comment, he would unleash the mechanical bees on them.
So is he trying to be like a Apollyon?
It sounds like the origin story of like a villain.
Well, it sounds like a Wish version of Apollyon.
Yeah.
But I've seen that clip so many times where, like, through different
mechanical,
you know,
bees.
No, where he's like, how much the earth cost? I'm gonna buy the earth.
Yeah.
People have used it like in videos when they talk about like people who talk too much at the gym.
Yeah.
When your gym partner talks too much, you're trying to do your set. And he's like, how much the earth cost? I'm gonna buy the earth. It's like, oh, man, this guy won't shut up.
Yeah.
But obviously they try to cancel him when it came to the misinformation because of the vaccines mm-hmm. and all that. And then, you know, the what is it? The cure? Not the cure, but...
Ivermectin?
The ivermectin.
Yeah. And they came out recently, some, I think, either a Korean or Japanese study came out showing that, like, you know, ivermectin does help, like, against COVID-19.
No. I'm going to pick myself off the floor.
When COVID first came out, they were, like, referring, like, ivermectin?
No, they're referring... it's a super long name. I forget what it is. It's... Hydroxychloroquine.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, that one.
Before hydroxychloroquine, like they knew. I think it was like, I think they said like China was using ivermectin.
Mm.
And then like
we obviously understand that the people who diagnosed COVID and said that this is what you should use, they said don't use the N95, and now they're saying to use it, and they said not to use it, and these masks don't work, and these work.
Yeah.
It's like, what's making us the most money? This is losing money.
Yeah.
We got to switch back to this. Follow the yellow brick road, folks.
Mask is down on the Dow.
A lot of people made money, a lot of money off the masks.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about like the higher ups.
Even toilet paper. the first few weeks of COVID, toilet paper was selling masks.
When you see the street vendors selling masks.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Mexican street vendors.
And I bought some of those, unfortunately. Because it's just like, dang, I need a mask to go into. Because I was living in Los Angeles at that time. And it's like, I got to buy it. It's like $10.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they were just like, and you know, this is just like a piece of cloth. They probably freaking cut it off of their.
It's from a newspaper.
Clothing. Or something. That was like a major thing. Yeah, do you guys remember when it first started that the toilet paper was going out?
Yeah.
I know. You gave me the address to the lady who was selling them on OfferUp, and then I went to her house, and she was stocked up on everything, bro. Like she was ready for the apocalypse.
It was yeah.
Hike.
People were
treating. Hike was stocked up.
Oh yeah,
on
yeah,
that
yeah,
man,
yeah. That guy can make forts off of. That guy can make forts.
Hey, he hooked me up though.
Forts
up?
Off of toilet
in your time
paper
of
rolls.
Need.
I was single at that time, and I was like stocked up for life right there.
Yeah, he had a lot.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was hard, and like it was for like a month. It was hard to get.
It was cheap though, but it was good.
Got the job done.
Yeah,
I remember that lady's house. I was like,
it was in triple.
This lady has nothing to worry about. There's toothpaste here. There's shampoo. There's toilet paper, and she was selling things like pretty expensive too.
¿Qué necesitas, mijo?
Yeah, she was the plug. Dang. She was the plug of that day, and the cars were pulling in and out. And then I remember like. I think she told me, don't tell anybody that we're here or something. You know what I mean? Like, they have to find us through this particular page. So I was about to leave, and this lady's like, is that the house that's selling all that stuff right now? I'm like, no hablo inglés.
Actually?
No, I didn't do that. I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, something over there, you know? And I just like. Oh, man, the hand sanitizer. That was 2020 was the worst. It's crazy to think that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah. It feels like kind of a blur because like
Yeah.
It really sucks.
The last 2 years have been pretty wild.
Yeah.
Just 2020 was one of the most wild ones.
I think it's opening up now. I think it'll be over.
It's still getting wild.
I mean,
Biden wanted to get crack fires out, man.
Oh, man.
That, I mean, they gave him crack in the 90s. So, I mean, this but is hey, just a continuation.
You know what?
Hey, well, yeah, that's
here's
true.
Here's the thing, though. So Biden wanted to give crack pipes out like for free, right?
Yeah.
But in Fresno, they actually give out like heroin needles for free.
Really?
You can bring in your old heroin needles, and then you can trade them for new ones.
How do you know about that?
In Fresno, there's actually a Vice documentary on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't do heroin, bro. This country is no wonder why the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. When you have the leader considering giving out crack pipes for free.
I think I'm going to give crack pipes out. With his beady little eyes.
You almost wonder if his son inspired him to do that.
That's why he's...
Dad, I got an idea.
That's also why he's defending Ukraine.
Because of the crack pipes?
No, his son has like business dealings in Ukraine.
There you go.
Yeah.
We need to help the Ukraine.
We need to help the freedom... corn pop.
I was going to say corn pop too. I'm serious. When you have the country considering giving out crack pipes for free, it's like it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like it is just over him saying the N-word.
Yeah,
which is crazy because like
I almost think that's just being brought up as because, a smokescreen because of the other thing,
the COVID stuff.
The COVID stuff.
Yeah.
What? It's Black History Month. And it's Black History Month. So, but anyways, cancel culture is stupid. And all it is the previous generation that has now grown up who are just offended at every single thing that anybody says and they can't take anything. And it's just like they don't have thick skin.
Isn't
and they don't want anybody to have an opinion or an opinion that's in opposition to their opinion. You know what I mean?
It's interesting. You're talking about like the new generation growing up. It's like the left now is super different than like the left when it was like the boomers generation.
Oh yeah, like JFK?
Yeah, because like
JFK would be considered like a conservative today.
Not even just that, like hippies were all about like freedom of speech, like resist authority, man, like you've got to think for yourself, you know, all this stuff. But now it's like, no, trust the science, don't ask questions, follow authority, you know, don't think for yourself, basically. Like
what in the world?
It's like the old left is like totally gone. And these are the same boomers who were like hippies, you know. They're the same ones who are like now voting Democrat.
Well, it's that example that they say that the conservatives of today, you know what I mean, would be considered like the liberals of yesteryear.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you are not grounded in the Word of God or if your foundation for your beliefs and your convictions are not founded upon the Bible, then you are built on shifting sands. The shifting sand of morality is constantly changing every generation.
Conservatives are liberals going the speed limit is basically what it is. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, whereas if you have the Bible as your foundation, sin is sin no matter what generation you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, whatever is wrong no matter what generation you're in because the Bible never changes.
Mm-hmm.
But morality is constantly changing. People's views on sodomy is always changing. People's views on feminism is always changing. People are always compromising because at the end of the day, they don't have the Bible as their foundation. Yeah. You know? And so, you know, people, the Republicans of today can say they're conservative and therefore, you know, conservative values, but not really if you compare it to the conservatives of yesteryear. The moral marker is constantly moving.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the Bible never moves.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens to Joe Rogan, but the bottom line is no one's going to be able to cancel him. It's not going to happen because Spotify is making too much money. They can try.
Yeah.
They can take down 70 of his thousands and thousands and thousands of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They can give him a hard time. But really what they're doing is they're making him even more popular. Things like this make people like that more popular.
You know how you mentioned earlier, like, cancel culture is like it won't work against corporations, basically, with like all this money. I think that's because cancel culture was basically like created by corporations because do you remember like the Occupy protests, like Occupy Wall Street and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all these people were, like, super mad after, like, the bailouts and the economy crash at all these big corporations and stuff. And it's sort of, like, since that happened, like, everything got redirected from being mad at these huge, rich companies who, like, control our government to being mad at, like, racist people.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, no, ignore these huge companies or whatever. Just be mad at like the boogeyman, the racist boogeyman. And that's obviously fits in because all these huge companies have the LGBT propaganda. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, we're on your side. Here's Kendall Jenner giving a protester a Pepsi, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? So it's like they kind of like subverted the narrative.
Yeah.
And now like cancel culture is like a tool of corporations. So it's not going to work on them.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a pretty interesting shift.
Yeah. They're the ones who constructed the cancel culture. Yeah,
to take heat off themselves, basically.
Right. Man.
Yeah.
But if they got someone like Joe Rogan, it's like it doesn't.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Well, Spotify is a big country. It's a big corporation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. But again, once it comes to the subject of money, it's not going to work because money talks.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Whoopi Goldberg. Oh yeah, like Whoopi Goldberg, for example.
What's that?
Whoopi Goldberg. Who's, what's that? Whoopi Goldberg. Oh man, Whoopi Goldberg is one of the.
I know who it is.
one of the women who are on the show The View. And she recently came out and made some comments denying the Holocaust. Not denying the Holocaust.
Yo, based?
She
was,
no. She didn't deny the Holocaust. What, she said something about the Holocaust, though. She what?
Belittled the Holocaust?
Yeah, she was like belittling the Holocaust in comparison to something else. I can't remember what it was. But she caught a lot of heat for it. But they wanted, you know, the cancel culture wanted to fire her, wanted to get her fired, but they couldn't. And so she's just suspended, right, for a couple episodes or something like that. So, anyways, have you been going to the gym, Adam?
I have been.
Nice.
I have been.
Are you? What are you doing? You doing the big three or the big five?
The big four. I don't know what the fifth is.
The fifth, according to Pastor Anderson, is pull-ups.
That does not include a barbell. How can it be part of the big five?
Well, do they have to include a barbell?
That's like the whole idea
of the big.
Four. So the big four is barbell or bench press, deadlift.
Oh, because it has a bar with it.
With a bar, right? And bench press, deadlift, squat. And my fourth is
overhead
press.
What about rows, barbell rows?
Hey, those are good.
They're good, but I don't think they're part of the big four, you know?
Why not?
I don't
barbell rows are for the back, right?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, I like doing those. We actually haven't done those in a couple of weeks, but I like those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are really good.
My favorite is the overhead press, though.
What you doing on the overhead press?
Right now I'm at 25 on each side, so 25 and a 2.5, so I think 100.
100?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Thank you.
I am also at 100.
There you go.
In fact, today I did 100.
You do the five. You do the overhead press?
Of course.
Awesome. So I was talking to somebody else at church, and they're like, "What? Why do you do that?" Like,
who?
Gio.
What? Really?
What?
Yeah. He's giving me grief for doing the overhead press.
Why? What's his reasoning behind it?
I don't remember. He just thought he was like, that's not like an actual.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, that helps so much with stability.
Well, I'm not like a huge fanatic of the overhead press.
It's my favorite lift.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it, and I definitely enjoy doing it, but I'm not something. It's not like to die for me, you know? But I wouldn't rag on it either because it does work.
Yeah.
You know,
I use it as an accessory.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I want to get to a point where I'm doing 135, though, at least.
One plate.
That'd be
cool. Yeah.
It's really good for the shoulders, obviously. So that's your favorite?
It's my favorite. It's also like it's one of the best ones for like the whole nervous system because it's one of the only lifts where it's like the power literally comes from like your feet. It like travels all the way up your body, basically.
Well, I have a question about that because when you do the overhead press?
Yes.
Do you ever do the little jump?
No, I don't bend my legs.
Oh, you don't bend your legs
no,
at all?
No.
Are you not supposed to?
You're not supposed to. So if you do the little jump, that's a push press.
Oh.
Yeah. But if you just keep it knees locked and just straight up, straight down, then that's an overhead press.
Well, we've been doing jump presses then. I do jump presses.
Push presses. Yeah. The
push
presses are a little easier, obviously, because you have the momentum. And when you go down.
He said, "Louis,
because you're working with momentum. If you go down and you jump back up, there's momentum to that.
So it's just lock knees, just bring it up, bring it down.
Bring it up.
Or you're doing that. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So I need to switch it up then.
Yeah. I think it's better. I think the only reason to do a push press is if you're doing like other Olympic lifts,
like a clean press.
Yeah, yeah, clean jerk or no, not strongman stuff, but just Olympic weightlifting.
Dang, just put you down.
I'm by no means an expert. I started last August. So,
is that the first time you've ever started lifting?
No, I used to lift back in college.
How long did you lift for?
A good year.
So. Do you still have access to newbie gains, or season over and done with?
I think it's getting a little harder. It's getting a little harder when I hit like.
What kind of answer is that?
What do you mean?
Are you in the season of newbie gains? Because typically that only lasts for about a year.
I'm still putting on like weight on each workout, if that's what you're asking.
Every week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
So what, like 5 to 10 pounds?
So yeah, 5 on the upper body, or yeah, 5. 2.5, which is 5 pounds on the upper body and 10 pounds on the lower body.
Is it like old weight that you could do before?
I've surpassed what I was doing before. Yeah.
When you were doing it in high school, you said, right? High school?
College.
Or college.
Yeah.
Were you doing the big three?
Yeah, I was doing the big three.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were doing squats, deadlifts, and all that. Yeah. So what's your squat at right now?
My squat right now is 235.
235?
Yeah.
And what's your deadlift?
I did 315 the other day, which was felt good. Yeah. 315 for 5.
Very good.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. And then your bench?
My bench is my weakest. I don't want to talk about it.
Let's talk about that.
I don't want to talk about the bench. So it's just very hard to do, man. Like the form is so hard to do it correctly.
In my opinion, it's the hardest one.
It has to go like diagonally down and then like.
We've been doing it. Well, I think we made a mistake because when did we start lifting? In October or September? We started lifting in September. He didn't really like the bench press because he wasn't really that good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So we started off with decline first, right?
Yeah.
Which, looking back, I feel like we should have started off with just regular bench
decline
press.
Decline is when you're like your head is lower than your legs.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually easier. It's the easiest out of all the bench presses, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Why do it, though?
I mean, yeah, you target the lower part of your chest when you mm-hmm. do decline.
Mm-hmm.
And then incline is obviously upper chest, mm-hmm. and then the regular one is just all of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we started off with that, and obviously that was kind of easy, but the problem is that I feel like we just didn't learn proper form for the regular bench press.
See, that's
and when I used to do bench press when I was like 18, 19, I always thought it was just –
up, straight up, straight down. See, that's what I was doing. I'm like, man, this is easy. I'm like already at like more than one plate, and then Gami told me, he's like, what, like his brother, he's like, what are you doing, basically?
Yeah.
Like, because Gami, because I go to the gym with Gami,
he's
like
really good at,
he's like, you have to move it like way lower, like on your chest. Yeah, and like, I tried moving way lower. I'm like, I can't do this weight.
Like, I can't do it. Yeah, well, aside from that, like there's all types of things, because I always wondered, like, why is it called the big three, or why is it considered a compound workout if, you know, because that would basically mean that your deadlift and your squat should improve your bench press.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, but my deadlift and my squat has to do with my legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's because you're using your legs during the bench press as well.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's more things you have to take into account when you do a bench press.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you got to arch your back, squeeze your glutes. You have to.
There's like a lot of moving parts.
Engage your legs and everything like that. And then you know, the bar doesn't go straight up.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to your chest. And then it goes diagonally.
Yeah,
you know, and then you have to dig your shoulders into the bench.
Digging the shoulders in the bench is like the hardest part for me because the bench is always like too small, and I'm like slipping on.
Well,
one
it's
side.
Like I feel like I have to take all these things into account when I'm down here. I'm like, I don't want to unsqueeze my back.
It just doesn't feel like it was like time. It just doesn't feel super natural right now.
Yeah, well, I want to get better at my bench, and I did some pretty good numbers today, but I was doing them wrong this whole time.
Yeah.
I was doing closed grip bench pressing this entire
time.
That's
harder though. That's kind of a flex.
That's not a flex.
Aren't they harder?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're harder.
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't going up though.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I would go up like incrementally, like very little.
Right.
But then like I'd be burned out and I'm like, man. Yeah. And then he would always tell me, you feel in your chest? I'm like, well, not really.
I
mean,
I feel my
triceps feel like they're jacked, but everything else is just like, and then I would fail PRs. And then finally, because we're doing.
Why didn't he correct you?
Because Ulysses is just that kind of guy. You know what I mean? He has so much respect for me. I guess I can just walk off a cliff and he's not going to tell me anything. You know?
Yeah.
So we're doing the floor press, Floor presses are great, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do floor presses?
No.
You should do floor presses.
Okay.
It'll help you a lot.
Okay.
But we're doing floor presses, and I was struggling with those as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just, you know, decides to pipe up and say, why don't you go wider?
Like your grip.
And my grip, yeah. And I'm like, I am wide. And he's like, no, that's considered closed grip. Mind you, this is months after. Months. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty wide. Like, but he said wide is considered. What I was doing wasn't even considered like normal. Wide would be considered like outside of the ring.
Yeah.
Right. And I wasn't even, my entire fist was within the ring.
Yeah.
But, you know, because of my body composition, I thought that was wide, but that's considered closed grip. Mm. So then I started putting my middle finger on the ring. Where do you put your, what finger do you put on the ring?
I put the ring actually like between these two right here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your middle finger and your
Whoa,
ring
what,
finger.
Hey, what the heck are you doing, bro? He's like, some little messages. yeah, put it on, and then all of a sudden it was just like,
this turns satanic quick.
Yeah. And then I could lift it really good, and I was like, oh man. So today my weight started going up again. Excuse me. And I put it on my index finger instead. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, was it my index? No, my ring finger. Index, right? Yeah. He's like, you put it on this. I put it on my index finger, and I was able to engage more. And maybe it's a mental thing, because when I was doing on my fourth one or third or fourth one, I was like struggling. And then he told me, engage your legs. Use
leg drive.
And then I thought, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to use my legs. And then when I push with my legs, then the weight would go up.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time determining whether the bar is going diagonally.
It's hard. It's just you have to do it over and over again.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
With like not always at your max weight for reps. Like yeah, you gotta do it at like
80%,
70%.
I am not at my max weight right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sad about that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Because I want to get to 225.
It's not about the weight, it's about the journey getting there.
Sounds gay. I wanna hit the PR, dang it. It's not about the what'd you say?
It's not about the weight, about the journey.
The heck is this a Hallmark card or what? For weightlifters? For powerlifters? But anyways, yeah, so I've hacked that, but 2 weeks ago I failed a PR, and then at that point I was just discouraged and I'm like, man, what's going on? But then I figured that out. So now I told Ulysses that I'm going to work my way up to 225, like doing like higher reps
mm-hmm.
to get stronger so that I can do 225. But I will say this, like my lower back just feels like it's just like, it aches sometimes when I'm doing the bench press.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I never get that.
I've
never had that.
Like
last week, need to see a doctor.
Last week, because I did...
You have a herniated disc.
Oh, man.
I did four sets of 225 for seven.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Seven reps?
Yeah, each. And my back, after those sets, were just like, it was just done.
Dude, speaking of...
Because you're arching it, you're saying.
Yeah, I was arching it so bad.
Speaking of back, after like a workout or the day after, and you sneeze, have you ever gotten like...
Oh!
like just soreness in your back? And I looked it up, and I'm like, this could be a sign of a herniated disc. And I'm like, oh no.
What?
Yeah. If you get like... If you sneeze, and you feel it in your back.
I've never had
in my,
that.
I felt it in my upper back. Is that where you feel it?
I just feel it's normal, right, guys?
I feel it in my lats.
You guys all feel it too, right?
In my lats a lot. But
when you sneeze?
Sometimes.
Why
are
you guys sneezing for?
Allergies. Allergy season.
I like never sneeze.
I got eczema.
I got eczema.
So you might have a herniated disc?
No, I don't.
No.
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So the article is not.
I don't trust doctors anyway.
Was it Mayo Clinic?
Why'd you look it up then?
Was it Mayo Clinic?
WebMD?
Yeah, it was WebMD. I don't trust any. If there's a PhD after your name, can't be trusted.
I know this, that every time I hit a PR, when I sleep at night, I wake up like a freaking Mac-10 truck hit me or something. Yeah. I'm like, what in the world is happening to me?
So when I hit that 405, I was like hungry. Like crazy.
I want food.
Yeah. I just started stealing food from people at the gym.
And then I was like just tired for like 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, when I hit, when I went from 315 to 350 on the deadlift, the entire weekend I was exhausted.
Yeah.
And then I failed the PR on that Monday for the squat, but I was just weak and it took a toll on my body.
PR means personal record for
Oh, yeah. PR. Yeah, people know that. Y'all know that, right?
Women,
PR means
women
personal
don't know.
Record.
I
thought I said pastor record.
Yeah, PR for me stands for
you're not. You're not allowed to lift more than the pastor.
Pastoral record.
Pastoral record.
If you lift more than the pastor, you get kicked out.
Correct. There's a lot of guys. There's some guys in our gym are able to lift quite a bit.
Yeah. I saw a dude doing 225 overhead press, and I'm like, dang.
Where? In our church?
No. Oh. I thought you meant just in the gym.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we see someone like that at the gym? They were doing like 225 overhead press. I was like, dude. I think he had 225 with 25s on the side. Didn't he not?
That's insane. I don't
remember. He was extremely strong.
It's inspirational.
Yeah, you always feel like you're the strongest one in the gym until some random dude just walks in and just deadlifts 500 pounds like it's nothing.
And then they don't even make it look hard.
Yeah, and
they're like jamming out to music.
Do you remember that guy, the Asian guy? There's this Asian dude. He just comes into the gym.
It's always these Asian guys.
Five plates.
Yeah, have you seen that meme?
He's like Mongolian warriors or something, bro.
He has five plates, and he just lifts it like deadlifts it like nothing. And he just sits down on his phone, just like not even breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
You know?
At Metroflex, when I used to go there?
Me, it's just like, I look like freaking drunk after I'm done doing a set or something. Just
There's this Asian guy. He's like, I think I'm just gonna go for 500 today.
Oh,
like yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And like, I was like, have you hit that weight before? He's like, yeah, but I haven't hit it in months. And he's like, I actually haven't deadlifted in months. And like, he doesn't even warm up. He just,
That's bad.
He just does 225, and then he just slaps on like five plates, and just.
Yikes.
And then he cleans it and jerks it up.
Yeah.
And then he pushes it through the ceiling.
Well, you know, the cool thing is after the last podcast that we did, a lot of people started hitting the gym.
Yeah.
The last podcast?
Pastor Anderson. People started hitting the gym. People who watched the podcast were inspired.
Hopefully not eating
vegetables. And, you know, I didn't really run into anybody who was inspired to run. You know what I mean? They're just inspired
run
to
from what?
The weight.
Run to the gym. That's about it.
The only time I run is the hills.
I just run my mouth. No, I'm just kidding. Did you see that meme that I sent? Where it was Ronnie Coleman. He's like me after skipping the 785th day of skipping cardio, and he's just like dancing.
Yeah.
I'm not against people running.
Running is good for
you. I'm just against me running.
Yeah. I just don't like running. I should, though.
Well, if I get into running, which I won't, but if I were if I get into running,
I'd be the fastest man alive.
I'll probably get into sprinting instead.
Yeah, it's more explosive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd prefer that. I don't like long distance running.
I don't have enough time to run for like 40 minutes anyway.
Well, I got a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why they invented it.
Yes.
So you don't have to go places.
I can go faster than someone running long distance in a car. I can beat them to the destination. I would prefer to do sprinting because I feel like that would actually help my explosiveness in my deadlifts. By the way, we're doing rack pulls on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're doing rack pulls, and I was doing like 225 and just because it's for exploding, you know, you're exploding.
Yeah.
And then he put 275 on there, and he's like, do the same exact thing. And then when I lifted it, it was just like I felt like it was – gonna like throw me back or something.
Oh, without the bands?
Without the bands, sorry. Yeah. He took the bands off, and at the end I was like, whoa. It was like, man, I like that. That's cool. So the bands help a lot.
Yeah.
For sure. Today we did Larson presses. Yeah.
Larson press.
It's basically like a bench press, but you put your legs up.
Oh, okay.
And it's to stabilize you. Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest feeling in the world. Because you unrack it, and then you just put your legs out, and you're just like. You just kind of shake.
Have you seen the what is it called? The bamboo.
Bamboo bars.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at that. Like I was watching a video. I'm like, that's crazy.
You're
just going like.
Remember we've done it before.
There go to your headphones.
Yeah, we've done it before at a Barbell Brigade.
Well, someone in the comment section put in the comment section if you started lifting weights and what are your numbers? What did you start doing? Did you start doing bench press? Have you started doing deadlifts? Have you started doing? I was gonna say leg presses. Have you started doing squats? You know, don't do the leg press.
And if you do, bend your knees.
Oh yeah. If you do the leg press, make sure
you don't lock your
knees. Yeah. Let us know what you're doing. One thing I haven't seen though is that people are not getting into the deadlifts.
Yeah,
I think people are afraid. Deadlifts are fun.
People are scared of the deadlift. Though.
I don't know why. Why are people?
It's because it's a lot of weight.
It is, but I think maybe also it could be that people think they're going to mess up their back if they do a deadlift.
Well, if they don't do it right, they probably will.
Just don't ego lift, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The deadlift for me has helped my back.
Mm-hmm.
It's made my back stronger.
Makes your posture better.
Makes your posture better. It's just a strength in my back for sure. I mean, it's sore like crazy the day after I like hit a PR on the deadlift. My lower back is very sore, but feels great. As long as I do those sciaticus and vaticanus stretches that you told us about. What are they called again?
Sciatic stretches.
Sciatic stretches?
It's for your sciatica, sciatic nerve or whatever, yeah, right?
It's for the vaticanus. It's a corrupt. It's corrupt. Yeah, yeah. It's corrupt stretches. I do them all the time. Now, like anytime before we do squats or deadlifts, I do those stretches. So it helps a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Ulysses doesn't do them, though. Ulysses doesn't like to warm up a whole lot. He doesn't like to stretch very much, and he doesn't like to warm up.
I never stretch. I just warm up with just work up to the weight.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like to stretch?
I think static stretching is bad for you.
Really?
Yeah. So when I'll do those stretches, I'll just do them like if I were doing like a dynamic stretch.
Not that
explain to me why it's bad.
So sorry, not that it's bad, but it's bad for lifts.
You should do them after your lifts, but not
before.
Before,
really?
Yeah.
Why hasn't everyone told me that? Did you know this already?
I heard both sides.
And you didn't want to say anything. He does this all the time.
So I don't know. I don't exactly know the science behind it, but essentially what they say is it puts you at a greater risk for injury.
Yeah.
Really?
If you static stretch. So static stretches is like
hold stretches.
You grab something, you just hold it like that or something
man.
Like that.
I do that all the time.
But what they say is better is what is it? It's like active stretches or dynamic stretches or something like that.
When you're like lifting up your leg or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
the swinging legs.
Yeah. Or, you know, just doing the movement, you know, like mm-hmm. warming up with the movement with lower weight on the movement, which is technically an active stretch. You're warming up your body. I don't exactly know why. I read that like a super long time ago, but
I'm going to have to look into that because one thing that I do when I'm preparing for my squats is I do like a squat and then I just hold it there. Because my hips are super tight in the morning.
Right.
Extremely tight. So I just have to like sit for a while. You know what I mean? And then when I get up, I'm like, oh, man, my hips are tight. But maybe it is true because once I start warming up with the bar and with a little bit of weight, it helps more.
So I looked it up because I remember where I read it. It says, SAS stretching or any stretching done in place holding for X number of seconds should never be done before an exercise. It can cause muscles to tighten rather than relax, putting the body at a greater risk of injury and limiting the muscle's capacity to perform. Instead, perform active movements simulating the exercise you're about to perform, et cetera, et cetera. Perform the lifts you're about to do with little or no weight.
So does that mean we shouldn't do the sciaticus stretch or what?
Well, I do them as like a.
They're good for after workouts.
We do. I don't do them as holds though. I do them as like just I'll constantly just like work that muscle. Like I'll just like stretch it like this. Just keep moving it.
Oh
yeah.
I think it makes more sense to do like the warm up, the stretch as like the actual movement you're about to do.
I will say that like when I'm warming up, like obviously when I do the static stretch, I try to go as low as possible, but it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But when I actually start doing the movement, I'm able to go lower and it feels a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
The more weight that goes on there because it pushes me down and that actually feels better. Yeah. But I just thought it was just because I already stretch and then I'm doing that.
Yeah, I mean doing a squat with like no weight is completely different mechanically like on your body than doing with weight on it.
Yeah, with just the bars like hard.
Well, now it feels really good when I go below parallel.
Mm.
Like before it didn't feel as good, but now when I put a lot of weight on it and it pushes me down, it actually feels great.
Mm-hmm. I think like at the end of the day like I don't know if the risk of injury is that big if you're not doing like
crazy amount of weight.
Crazy amount of weight. Yeah. But probably just warm up with the lifts. It just makes more sense, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that left a weird taste in my mouth, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Weird good, weird bad?
I don't know. I don't know if I like it. I have mixed feelings about it.
It's an acquired taste. It's all like it uses actual spices and stuff, so it's like different.
Oh. Very interesting. Well, do we have anything to talk about? Else to talk about? Is that it?
You say you're gonna do Elijah and Edom.
He didn't like that idea, though. I told him he just didn't really react very well to it. Well, on Sunday, where I was preaching about,
dang, don't put that in.
On Sunday, I was preaching about. Sunday, I was preaching about the dichotomies in the Bible, and I kind of chased the rabbit regarding Enoch and Elijah. And, you know, because there's a certain dichotomy where it's like Well, if flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, how is it that Elijah and Enoch are in heaven if they have not yet received the resurrected bodies? And people have said, well, they have the resurrected bodies, but they haven't, because Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, then we which are his at his coming. So it's basically saying that he is the firstborn of the resurrection. In other words, he's the first one to receive his glorified body. And then the very next ones to receive their glorified body thereafter are those at the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain at that point in the twinkling of an eye, you know, corruption shall put on incorruption, referring to the resurrected body. So we chased a bunch of rabbits on Sunday, but rabbits are sometimes good to chase in a sermon. Keeps things interesting.
Yep. Skin it and eat it.
Yep. Skin it, kill it, make some rabbit stew out of it, and then eat it. But what was the reason I gave behind that? I don't remember anymore. What did I say about Elijah? I think what I basically said was, I think when people have a misconception that when the Bible says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, first and foremost, in its most literal sense, the kingdom of God is not necessarily referring to heaven, although it could be talking about heaven, but more specifically is just referring to, like, for example, God's earthly kingdom that he's going to set up one day, right? And it's really used like in conjunction with just eternal life in general. Like, if you have the kingdom of God, then it's referring to the fact that you're going to see the kingdom of God because you're going to live forever. And I think what the Bible's saying, that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, it's saying that a body cannot physically live forever, because that which powers the body is the blood. And therefore, it's corruptible. It's going to die one day. And therefore, we need a resurrected body in order to live forever, which only comes by believing on Jesus Christ. And that resurrected body is powered by the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, right? And so the reason why Elijah and Enoch can be in heaven and still have, quote unquote, their corruptible bodies is because of the fact that, you know, just because they haven't received a resurrected body doesn't mean they can't be in heaven, because people have this thought, well, I think nothing unclean can go into heaven.
Yeah, that one was the biggest, like, yeah. I had that misconception of, like, well, no sin can enter heaven.
Yeah.
Right.
But does the Bible say that, though?
No.
It doesn't really say that.
It's only Satan, the new heaven and new earth, that happens.
Satan goes to heaven, and so do the demons. You have the unclean spirits that come before the presence of God.
He's a lying spirit, too.
Yeah, he's an unclean spirit. Yeah. You know, iniquity is found in him.
Yeah.
And so really what the Bible says is that no man shall see my face and live, and referring to God the Father. And so the fact that Satan is able to go to heaven doesn't mean that he's even looking at the face of God. He's just in heaven, and we don't know the dynamics of heaven or the dimensions of heaven or how it works. But obviously believers can be up there and not be able to see the face of God. And the proof of that is the fact that Moses was probably, humanly speaking, the closest physically to God on the mount without seeing his face.
Yeah.
He saw the backside of God.
Yeah.
And of course he had the glory on his face and everything like that, but you know, he didn't see God's face, and he was literally physically in the presence of God. So it shows you that you can literally be in the presence of God and not see his face and still live and be a corruptible body. So we don't know exactly where, like, Enoch and Elijah are necessarily in heaven. We know they're in heaven because they're saved and they were raptured, but they haven't received their resurrected body as of yet. They were translated, but they have not yet seen their resurrected body. And so the point that I was driving was the fact that flesh and blood should not inherit the kingdom of God, but neither can corruption inherit incorruption. In other words, this corruptible body cannot just become an everlasting terrestrial body or celestial body. It requires the intervention of God through Jesus Christ and our belief on him to transfigure our bodies. You know, it has to die.
Well, it's like the people that are going to be like still in their corruptible body during the millennial reign. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God at that time.
Yeah.
Because when they die, they're not going to live again until the second resurrection.
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
The dead did not live again until the second resurrection.
And then another point was the fact that the 144,000 who come back to the earth, when we are raptured up, they still have their corruptible bodies. Mm-hmm. And we don't know exactly how that works because we don't know, like, were they raptured? Were they taken? But we can speculate biblically and come to the safe conclusion that they do still have their corruptible bodies because of the fact that they are capable of being hurt or they're capable of mm-hmm. dying when they're here on this earth. That's why the mark has to be set on their foreheads in order for them to be protected by the locusts, the army of locusts that was sent out by Apollyon. Mm-hmm. And so if they still have their corruptible bodies, that means they're currently in heaven with their corruptible flesh. Mm-hmm. And so that's proof that they can still be up there even with their corruptible bodies. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't mean that they're seeing the face of God. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, we say it sometimes, and it's accurate to a certain extent. Like we tell people out when we're soul winning, we say, are you 100% sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Mm-hmm. But the reason we say that is because people correlate heaven with eternal life.
Yeah.
But really, eternal life is in heaven. You can have it, you know, in heaven or here on this earth in a new heaven and a new earth.
That's why Jehovah's Witnesses are like, well, I don't even want to go to heaven or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I'm going to still say that because people have that connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, eternal life is just eternal life. Yeah. It's just to be able to live forever with God. And another thing that people have a misconception about is the fact that heaven has always existed and hasn't always mm-hmm. existed. You know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, God has always been, he's always existed, he's eternal, but he created heaven.
Yeah.
And obviously the reason he created heaven is so it can be inhabited by believers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's obviously one day going to be inhabited by millions and millions of believers from the time of Adam up until the end of time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or the rapture takes place.
Yeah.
So you have thousands and millions and millions and millions of believers up there. You know, I go to prepare a place for you. There has to be a place for believers to inhabit at that time. I think I preached a sermon on that, but I don't remember everything I said about it. It was like misconceptions about heaven.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Do you think that, and I just thought about this right now. So when Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, do you think that because heaven was a created place as well, do you think that place got corrupted? That's why God has to make a new heaven and a new earth.
No, I don't think it's corrupted.
It's like a sinful place, like earth is. But it's just.
I think God created heaven with the foreknowledge that it was going to be inhabited one day. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation mm-hmm. of the world.
Yeah.
So before even Adam and Eve fell in the realm of eternity, Jesus Christ was already crucified because eternity is without time.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven is in this dimension of eternity, and therefore he sees everything from a panoramic view. He already knows, he sees the beginning from the end, which, by the way, is another reason why people can have corruptible bodies and up there and still basically not age or anything like that, because they're outside of space or outside of time. Time corrupts. You know, people age, they become corrupt, they die, whereas in heaven, there's no time there. And so, you know, people just basically just continue to live forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as why he made heaven new.
Well, there's different rules for the new heaven, as in, like what we just talked about. Like in new heaven, no sin can be there. Like nothing that maketh a lie. Right.
Yes. Well, that's actually referring to
the city,
the new earth.
The city, I think.
Yes, but which is in the new earth.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what I preached about that, because I preached about that. Mm-hmm. I gave a reason why God had to recreate Earth again, but I don't remember what it was. I preach a lot of sermons, so I forget sometimes. I mean, I don't remember teaching you that thing about Daniel, but apparently I taught you that. Folks, forgive me, okay? Because when you preach as much as I do, you just kind of forget some
things.
He's
not on keto.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not. But well, even when I am, I don't think I would remember that.
What was it, because it's like... basically, he has to terraform.
Well, he has to terraform the earth.
Mm-hmm.
How much the earth cost? No,
yeah, that's what exactly.
But
a mechanical beast.
Obviously, the reason why he has to terraform the earth is because of the fact that it has to go through a process of glorification,
mm-hmm.
and the earth is a picture of the believer who is being transformed or being redeemed. So mm-hmm. the earth being transformed or glorified is like a believer being transfigured as well on a bigger scale, right? And but as far as the heaven, heaven is concerned, I'm not. I can't remember exactly what I, how I explained that. Why it was being transformed? You know, I'm not sure. I can't remember right now. I would have to re-listen to my sermon. But I preached that a couple months ago. I preached about misconceptions about heaven, where I speak, where I talk about that. I don't know. What do you think?
Seems pretty good.
No, I'm saying, what do you think? What's the reason why?
Oh, I don't know. Seems pretty good. No.
Yeah, because it's not changed until...
Why he creates a new heaven and new earth?
Why he creates a new heaven. We know why he creates a new earth.
Right, yeah.
But the Bible says that he sees a new heaven and a new earth. And so we'd obviously see why there's a new earth.
I was going to say maybe that, like, since... You know, heaven and earth are like one, this one eternal dimension. Then maybe since he creates a new earth, he has to create a new heaven, since it's like one new eternal dimension, you know, because they're joined back together, like in the Garden of Eden.
Hmm.
Maybe that's why.
That could be it.
Yeah.
I do know that everything basically continues.
Yeah.
As far as the stars and the planets are considered, because of the fact that, you know, summer and winter, according to the Bible, will never cease. So that's going to stay forever. And so, you know, the sun's going to burn forever and everything's going to continue as it was, you know. There should be no reason why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the universe is going to continue to expand. I mean, I guess a safe speculation would be that it would be, but I don't think it really matters, though.
If the commenters have
any ideas, put
in the comment below.
Put in the comment section.
Hit that.
It's really bothering me that I can't remember what I taught about the new heaven, though. I had a really good explanation for that. I can't remember what it was.
Just splice in your sermon clip.
I should. Yeah. This is the reason why. And I'll splice in my sermon clip as to why. But anyways, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And then you brought to my attention the fact that I taught you something about Daniel being one of the 144,000.
Yeah.
Which would make a lot of sense because of the fact that these were a particular special kind of young men who didn't know women. They were virgins. They mm-hmm. follow the Lord, and that would fit Daniel's description as being one of the 144,000. And it could possibly be that when God tells him in Daniel chapter 12 that at the end of days he shall stand in his lot, he's referring to the fact that he's going to be standing with his tribe, which is the tribe of Judah, during the end.
Yeah, and it's funny because like God tells him, you know, blessed is he that makes it unto the 1,335 days.
Yeah.
And that's at the end of that is when the rapture happens.
Yes.
But he comes back as we're going up.
Yeah, he comes back as we're going up.
Yeah.
And you made that joke where it's just like, you know, he comes down and he sees the abomination of desolation. He's like, I've seen this before, you know.
Yeah.
There's a guy back in my day named Nebuchadnezzar. He made an image of gold or an image of himself,
yeah.
And you know, people were thrown into the fiery furnace and all this. I've been to this.
The reruns,
before.
Am I right?
Yeah. This is obviously a bigger version of it. But anyways, folks, well, I think that's going to conclude the podcast for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the episode and just going through some, just talking about different current events and some doctrine here. And make sure you listen to the episodes on Spotify and also on the YouTube channel. It's also on fwbcla.org. Stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you so much for watching.